I did the worst thing this week.
Go on.
I got on a bus.
Oh, gosh.
Seriously, it was awful.
No.
You know what was more awful?
Traumatising.
How expensive buses have become. When was the last time you got a bus?
To be fair, I got one the other week with my dad. However, my dad paid for it, so I don't know how expensive
it was. Well, first of all, that is absolutely sickening. Your dad's still paying for your bus fare and you're nearly 40.
He gets it free.
Dear. Whatever dear it is right now. Time. Whatever time it is right now. Here's Luke.
Hello.
She's Lucy.
Hiya.
This is Luke and Lucy FM. What's on this week's episode?
It's the one where we chat tunes with Carolyn Poole, former X Factor and Fame Academy contestant. Carolyn Poole's on the phone to tell us life after the X Factor. We're talking about the music industry, what we like, what we don't like, and frankly, if we like Justin Bieber.
I get a feeling it's going to be a riot.
Hello and welcome to Luke and Lucy FM episode 21. If you've never joined us before, you've picked a perfect time because, well, it's a podcast, so there's no music. Despite this episode being all about music, the good thing about a podcast is you don't have to skip any songs you don't like.
But you can go and put your favourite music on after this.
I'm glad you said after this. We don't want people to stop listening to us right
during,
now.
No, afterwards.
Always after, never during. That's a motto I've adopted in life.
Or before as well.
Well, it or both.
Do what you fancy.
I'm Luke Marsden, and a true fact about me is that this week I was told that I have the eyesight of somebody double my age.
Wow. That doesn't surprise me. You are really blind.
Well, first of all, your reaction wasn't really what I was looking for. I was looking for something like, oh, Luke, that's awful. And, you know, are you going to be okay? And that sort of stuff.
You can't even see 10 yards in front of you.
Well, thankfully for you, you should be grateful because I can't see all those wrinkles developed on your forehead. That's all
Excuse
I'm saying.
Excuse me.
Just saying.
No wrinkles. Hello.
Botox. What's a true fact about you, Lucy Hilton?
Okay, facts about me. I once appeared on a soap.
You're joking.
No, I did.
Well, back in episode 9, we had Fizz from Corrie. Is it Corrie?
No, it's not Corrie. It's Hollyoaks.
Oh, is that a soap?
I once appeared on it. I was selling Valentine's balloons.
Oh, the irony. Oh, the absolute irony. Really? How old were you at this point?
I think I was like 19. Maybe younger, actually. Maybe 17.
Really?
Yeah, I was a little baby.
How much acting did you have to do involved in this?
Well, it was quite hard, really. You had
to really push your face,
pretend I was talking, sell people these balloons.
Did you ever think to yourself, maybe I should sell balloons full-time for a job in real life?
I did, actually.
And then what happened? Then you woke up.
Then I continued in education.
Somebody should. Right. If you've never listened to any of the episodes before, please do check them out. We've got loads, 20 more episodes to choose from, and we've had so many amazing guests over the past few weeks of the podcast. Just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes or go to audioboom.com/channel/Luke and Lucy FM or drop us a little tweet at Luke and Lucy FM on the. And also, just want to say a big thanks to High Life Diners Club for supporting Luke and Lucy FM. How many times can I say Luke and Lucy FM in a sentence?
Oh my goodness, I think you said it about 100. Should we start counting?
Yeah, shoot. No, let's not. High Life Diners Club, if you want a really exclusive offer, and we're talking excellent offer, stay tuned to the end of the podcast episode and we'll tell you all about High Life Diners Club. Now, Lucy, you actually chose the topic for this episode.
I did choose the topic for this episode because it's one of my favourite things ever.
Eating?
No, well, apart from that.
We've already done the food one.
We've already done the food
episode
one.
Episode 19, check
now
that out.
Now is the music one. I love music.
Yeah, the thing is,
whatever mood you're in, it can just be there. It can be there for you.
But that's the thing. When nobody else is there for you, do you think that music is kind of something that... Like, if you got involved in an argument, let's say... I know you said your boyfriend, but let's say your mum. and let's say you got involved in a really big argument with your mum. Would you, to chill out, what song would you put on?
See, if I was like really sad after an argument...
Adele.
And I was really tired, I put Adele on, or James Bay, or Ed Sheeran. I love those like albums, but they do kind of, they're good for you when you're feeling low.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. But music has changed so much over the past few years to the extent of now, you kind of don't... I mean, like, when I was born and back in the 80s, and, you know...
1800s.
I remember buying Ronan Keaton on tape.
Ronan Keaton, Life is a Roller Coaster.
On tape.
And what a tune. Was that the first... like thing you
that's
got.
The first tape I ever bought.
Was it? Mine was Britney Spears.
Oh, which one?
Obvs. Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Well, yeah, that is obvious. That was a life motto for you later on, wasn't it? And but yeah, Ronan Keaton. And I cannot remember. I remember asking my mum for some pocket money to buy Ronan Keaton.
How much were tapes in the day? Was it like 99p?
No, I think it was a bit more expensive.
But think they were like a five.
Yeah, it was.
They?
They were rip off. And then
because I remember having to save my pocket money for that.
This is how eclectic, you mean your balloon money.
My balloon money.
This is how eclectic my tastes were. The second tape I ever bought was Limp Bizkit, Keep On Rolling.
Oh, branching out.
So
there.
I've gone from Ronan Keaton off Notting Hill's theme song to a wrestling theme song at Limp Bizkit.
Is it a wrestling theme song?
Yeah, it was back then.
You were a bit obsessed with wrestling though, right?
Yeah, I don't mind
so
it.
So do you think, like, would you prefer to listen to a wrestling song?
An entrance music. Well, there's different, because a lot these days, entrance music for wrestling, for example, is actual real proper songs.
Is it?
Like Motorhead and all that sort of stuff. You're surprised I know any of this sort of Motorhead.
I'm really not surprised, because you are geek when it comes to wrestling.
No, I mean, a geek strong. But I think, I'm just educated in the world of latex.
And, latex?
Well, I mean, that's what they were, isn't it? Spandex, I meant, actually, not latex. I scratched that a bit. And, you know, growing up, so you said your first ever tape, we're going to overlook that. Your first ever tape was Britney Spears, right?
Yeah.
But if I were to get hold of your phone right now and skip to a song, I'd say I'd find Britney Spears.
No, I've not got Britney Spears, actually, on my iTunes.
You're joking?
No,
seriously?
I'm not. Yeah, I've actually just realised that. I've not got Britney.
Pass me your phone now, and I'll randomly search for your phone and look at a song.
Well, don't choose, like, the worst one.
Well, I mean, that's the idea of a random search, Lucy. you just choose a random song. Right, so I'm scrolling through and I'm clicking.
I've got some pretty good songs on
there. Right, so you've got The Cure, The Curse featuring Tracy K. What the hell is that?
It's a nice little house dance tune when you're going out on a Saturday night.
Let's have a little listen. Oh my word, this is so chavvy.
You've only just started it.
You're driving along, you're bopping in your car, and this is playing in the back. You need to cut that off, else iTunes are going to get us done for copyright, I would imagine. So, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, the thing is though, Lucy, right? But music taste for me, I think I really began to discover music when maybe I got to about 10 or 12 and CDs were the big boom, right? I think it was 1982 the first CD was published, but I only got into CDs kind of actually about 16 years ago when the X Factor started to get the winner's single onto a CD.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I bought a lot of CDs, but actual singles, just how much of a rip-off was a single on a CD if you think about it?
Was it 99p?
No, it's like £3
I'm
and it was one.
With
I don't know why. This is not the Pwn Shop podcast. And you know, you bought a single and you think about it, you're paying £3 for one song these days on iTunes.
It's like 99p. Isn't it? Bargain.
And then, of course, there's the whole issues. So it's not just, let's say, when I bought Susan Boyle's album 6 or 7 years ago. I bought Susan Boyle's album. Huge fan of Susan Boyle.
I think you try and mention Susan on every single podcast.
Is she kind of paying you some? No, I wish. Susan, if you want to sponsor a podcast, just tweet us at Luke and Lucy FM. And you know, I bought Susan Boyle's album, and she has six albums. People are surprised,
but she actually has six.
I can name all six. And back before iPods were released. Do you remember back in the day before iPods?
Another iPod. My iPod broke.
You know you've got an iPhone.
Yeah.
But if you go running, you want a little iPod.
Absolutely.
You don't want to carry your phone away. You're attached to your phone. You need it. And kind of, you know, it's crazy to think that my mum and dad had to buy me a Walkman and a portable CD player. But if you think about a CD player, I wasn't portable at all. It was a giant bulky thing that you had to carry your own.
I can't remember it.
A portable.
I'm too young for that.
Oh, clearly. But did you never have a portable CD player you carried around?
No, I didn't actually.
So when you had your Spice Girls
party. I was deprived.
Yeah, well, clearly, obviously, yeah, you've really suffered. Just like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We did actually, when we were in primary school, did actually kind of dress up as the Spice Girls and used to give concerts to the rest of our class.
So during those concerts, you would put a CD of the Spice Girls onto a massive tape player and stuff. Yeah, you know when iTunes first came out, were you reluctant
to purchase songs from
iTunes. Well, yeah, it took me years. It was you, in fact, that actually purchased my first song.
What do you
led
mean?
Me down the dark path of spending all my money on music.
Lucy literally pumps all the wages back into Apple.
I do.
If iTunes, of course, are listening and like to boost us podcast, we just want to say we'd love that. Thanks.
All the money would go back into you.
Yes, that's also very true. And, you know, do you think your tastes in music has changed over the past few years? Like, I have a friend. Hi, Andrew, if you're listening, just listen to the podcast. And he's like Keane since Keane was born,
really?
I think.
Really? I wasn't a big fan of Keane.
Right, but he still has Keane and the same
dreary,
songs of Keane. Well, yeah. He still has the same songs of Keane in his car to this day.
Does he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, who has Keane songs these days?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. See, I'm one of those type of people, though. If I really like a song, I'll play it over and over again for like a week and then it really annoys me after that.
See, the difference is that, let's take Adele, for example.
To be fair, you can never get old of Adele, though, can you not?
You know, on iTunes, you can see how many songs you've played and how many songs you've played over and over again.
Is she the most listened to on your
350
iTunes?
Times I've played Hello.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot of hellos.
That was your favourite song, though.
Yeah, well, it still is one of my favourite songs.
There are some classics, and obviously, one of the biggest like bands in the world ever and still is was the Beatles, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't think their tunes got old either.
Well, they're on iTunes now as well, so they've been reintroduced to a new generation.
Apparently, John Lennon wrote one of his songs, Good Morning, after watching a cornflakes advert.
Inspirational
cornflakes.
Some cornflakes, but Kellogg's love that.
The oldest artist as well to ever top the UK charts was Louis Armstrong, aged 66 years old, with What a Wonderful World.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good song, that, isn't it?
That's the thing, though. iTunes, do you not think, has given a platform to all these older artists who necessarily wouldn't shift CDs anymore?
Yeah, defo.
Yeah. But to be honest, what do you and I know about shifting CDs? We don't have a clue, do we?
Well,
we need to speak to somebody who's an actual singer-songwriter.
Yes,
who's been through it all and actually could give us advice if we ever released a single.
Well, I don't think we'd want to with your voice.
Welcome to Luke and Lucy FM. Carolyn Poole, good morning. Good afternoon. Depends what time you're listening to this.
Good evening.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Carolyn, thanks so much for being on Luke and Lucy FM.
No worries.
So I think I should start. Now, I've not told Lucy this, but I think I would probably be doing us a disservice by not explaining that I'm actually grateful that you picked up the call, because if you remember the first time and the last time we actually physically met in real life, Carolyn, wasn't the best of experiences for me, was it?
Oh, God, what happened?
So Carolyn and I were doing an event together and I was hosting, Carolyn was singing on stage.
Okay.
And Carolyn was on stage singing the songs, doing a great job, crowd were getting involved in it, and I felt what I thought was a bit of raindrop on my head.
Turns out it
wasn't raindrop, and frankly a seagull had crapped all over my head. So Carolyn gets off stage.
Please tell me you went down with bird poo on your head.
Well, I had to. People were waiting to bring Carolyn off. I went to hug Carolyn goodbye, realised that she was horrified.
Carolyn, you should have just took over.
I took it as a lucky sign.
Well, true.
That's what I was thinking.
I was subsequently sacked from that radio station, so it wasn't lucky. No, I wasn't. If they're listening, I resigned. So, Carolyn, we've got you on Luke and Luce FM because we've just been discussing all about music, and we think you might know one or two things about music, yeah?
Well, you would hope so.
You would hope so. So way back when, you did Fame Academy. Does that seem like a lifetime ago?
Yeah, it was an absolute lifetime ago. That's like, is it 11, 12 years ago?
It was ages
like
ago,
that?
Wasn't it?
A long time ago.
Was that the year Lamar won it? Did he win it?
No, he came third the first season, and I came third the season afterwards.
Right.
So you were like that year's Lamar.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Not quite.
Without the dreadlocks.
And of course, in 2011, you did Judges' Hoses on The X Factor. And then the year later, you got through to the live shows and regrettably lost against Ryland.
Yeah.
I mean, are you bitter about that? Because he wasn't a singer, was he? He was
just there for the audience, wasn't he?
Yeah. I get asked this all the time, but the thing is, I went into that show completely knowing what I was getting myself in for.
Yeah.
And the reason why I decided to do these shows, it wasn't because I suddenly woke up and decided I wanted to be a singer. It was the music industry changing so much that everybody now is watching these talent shows. So it was, it literally was a case of, well, I'm just going to try and get my music and try and get my face on that screen so that it directs people to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
actually a
so
good
for
way,
me,
yeah.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't that I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to be a superstar now. It was like, oh, well, never mind. 9 million people saw this. They're going to take notice where, you know, what I'm doing, whether, you know, it draws attention to it, whether they like it or not is a different thing. But I've drawn some attention to myself and I can direct that to my music. So for me, that was the reason why I chose to do these shows. It wasn't, you know, me selling out. I signed as a songwriter when I was 21. I moved to London and I was working as a songwriter, writing for other artists. I've always been writing and singing. Wow. It wasn't a case of just that, oh, hiya, I worked in Tesco, yeah. Now I decide I'm going to sing.
Just going
to... Although, actually, I'd like to see more of that on The X Factor, working in Tesco instead of the way that they do
it
now.
But that's what the audience love. Yeah, they love that.
They want the sob story, don't they? Yeah. And
they don't want the person that actually is an artist and has been trying. But we're losing... avenues into the industry because, you know, for me, a country singer from Yorkshire was never going to get that amount of attention other than doing these kind of shows.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, that it was quite clever of you. So you used the platform that you knew would get you the most exposure to introduce people to your music.
You can't buy that kind of PR anywhere. And, you know, for me, it wasn't going to damage me by looking, you know, cheesy by going on X Factor because I sing country music and country pop music. So
the Dolly Parton of Yorkshire.
Yeah. But for somebody like, you know, for instance, artists such as James Arthur that go on there and they get this audience and they win the competition because they go, oh, there's this authentic artist here, blah, 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 and then he makes this awesome album. And then he decides as an artist, you know what, this isn't really what I want
doesn't
to do,
want
though,
to do it anymore. Yeah.
I swear on my records and I don't really give a about this. And, da, 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 da. And so his audience that he's collected go, what? That's not who we thought you were.
So they feel cheated. Yeah, they feel as though that's not.
I wonder what happened to him. He kind of just went off the radar, didn't he?
Yeah, well.
Well, he went to make don't we all? That he wants to make.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolyn, so, I mean, you would say, so the X Factor, Let's Fame Academy and this sort of stuff, has this had a positive impact? Has this actually kind of changed your style? Because I know you do country, but you did a few pop songs that you did on the X Factor as well. Is that kind of, did you have to change your style or since? Have you found it positive, negative?
Well, there's been pros and cons to both.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, what people don't know about that series there was I did a song called Starships, which, you know, is by Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So when I go to the X Factor producers on that, you know, I'm a country singer, and they had their reasons for wanting me on the show, and it wasn't really to do with talent or anything like that. As you know, these shows are not about that, really.
Yeah, they didn't
everybody's
care about whether you can sing or not.
Everybody's a character. Yeah. No, they want a character. They want somebody who's that version of you, if you know what I mean. So yeah. They don't particularly pick the best singers. They pick the best country singer. They pick the best, you know,
somebody will
the
get the
rapping
audience
girl.
Pick
the clone rather than the opera singer.
Yeah,
it's a character. And, you know, I fitted the bill, which was what they were looking for that year, which was an over, you know, over 25, which basically means you're an over.
What do you mean you're not 21?
Exactly, yeah.
Over the hill, is that what the over bit means?
Yeah, but you do kind of determine yourself on that. When you turn 25, you think, oh, I'm in the over 25s category now on X Factor.
It's ridiculous, really, because they always had the overs, and I don't mean this to be mean, as either a really... like an old crooner or a karaoke singer or a cruise singer
or cougar, or,
somebody that they wanted an over, and their debrief was somebody who wasn't a younger looking kind of like Cheryl Cole.
Good compliment for yourself.
Yeah, it was not that I was in that category at all. It was just that they wanted somebody saying, oh,
more like
you
that.
Know, J-Lo would be in the overs.
Yeah,
poor
Cheryl Cole would be in the overs.
Poor
Scherzinger would be in the overs.
Well, yeah, she definitely is the equivalent of an over.
A lot of like successful female artists these days would be in the overs. Yeah.
So you sang Nicki Minaj's Starships, or you was advised? You was pretty much told that that wasn't the avenue you was going down.
No, so I went on when I got to judges' houses. I did an acoustic version of Starships because they asked me to change something contemporary into a country song. So I thought, well, I'll just go for a Nicki Minaj song and I'll do that, which is what I did, and they loved it. And then when I got on the live shows, I wanted to sing a country ballad because I wanted to target my country audience and not do something that was too out there. But they wanted me to do Starship. So 2 days before the live show, they changed my song. So
from
you kind of... Yeah, not that that was a problem. It wasn't that I didn't know the song. That was fine. So I did Starships then instead. But when you're on a live show and you know that you're doing an up-tempo song, the audience don't relate to that.
No.
They didn't want to see... The Nicki Minaj fans were going, what's this? A country version of... Nah. And the country fans were going, what's this? You know, so I didn't have any audience there that was actually mine on the first show. I didn't have a chance to do anything. So
that
was my
battle.
You didn't stand a chance, really, in that sense, did you?
Any power over that either, didn't you not?
Nobody does. It's their show. They can do what they want. There's no point moaning about it. You just got to go with it and hope that you get what you can from it.
Yeah. So have you got that, though? I mean, have you got just that? Have you got what you can from it, do you think, now, since 2012?
Absolutely, yeah. That I did what I wanted to do, which was it drew attention to myself. I got to work in America for 4 months. I got to write with writers out there. I've just written my entire album.
Oh wow!
I got playlisted on Radio 2 last year.
Yes, I read that. Session, very impressive.
With Terry Wogan. Yeah, that's all happening again now. I've got another single coming out, which is Take the Keys. That's just, you know, that will be on Radio 2 in the next 4 weeks. So I start all promotion for that. So I wouldn't have started that stepping stone. I went, you know, writing with Jeff Silver and the writers that I did in America.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have done that show and somebody saw that and gone, oh gosh, she's good. I should work with her.
Do you think, you just don't know.
It's
just you've kind of gone make what you can out of it. I mean, do you think that, Carolyn, that you, even in terms of releasing it, you've had a discussion with your label and things like that, it's all about iTunes? Because who's actually buying? We just discussed this. Who's buying? I know vinyl's on a comeback. Who's buying CDs these days?
Well, this is the thing. It depends. There are certain people, certain audiences that don't like to buy online, and mine in particular, the Radio 2 audience, mine are the Debbies, it's the Tesco audience. So the people who I want to buy my records are the ones that do still buy the hard copies.
Yeah.
It's the mums that pick it up in Tesco, it's the people it's the mums that want to put the CD on in the car, that don't know how to burn a CD, that don't know what this is, they can't plug it in the car because they've not got this. There is a certain audience there still that wants that hard copy.
Yeah. To be fair, I am that audience. Yeah. I do love banging on
Lucy's
CD
not a mum.
And you get that on X Factor as well. For instance, the older audiences, the voters, the people that are voting, are the majority that. That's why you get the boy bands, etc., that get all them votes, and it goes to the top of the iTunes chart because it's the young ones that have clicked on the phone.
Yeah, but they have to ask for parental permission, do they not? Mum, can I spend 99p on One Direction?
But then you look at people like Christopher Maloney, who came second.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't hardly have any followers. He's got as many followers as I do, really, on social media, you know, a few more. But he came second and I came last. But that's because his audience will buy it, you know, because it's the mums, it's the older people.
I mean, God knows why, just saying. But, so, Carolyn,
but that's an example of it, you know what I mean?
Do you now think then, in terms of the music industry, because obviously this is what you want to, this is what you're doing for a career, this is the long-term goal for you. Have you kind of thought to yourself of a strategy of, you know, your CDs, you still got stuff on iTunes, you've been to America, you've wrote your own album? I mean, this sounds stupid because there's a million singer-songwriters out there, but it's not easy, right? Especially in this day and age of the music, it's just not easy.
No, and I fall in and out of love with it all the time. And it's not, I choose to do it. It's just, I do it. It's hard to explain. It's like I can't stop doing it, if that makes sense.
And I mean, so you have to be in love with the industry, don't you, to kind of carry on?
It has to be in your blood.
Yeah.
It's not something that you can dip in and out of. I mean, I left the music industry as such, but I didn't really see it that I left it because I was still songwriting at home. I was still in it. I just wasn't
just
actively
wasn't
pushing
singing.
Myself as an artist.
Yeah.
You know, but you've got to have that burn in you. And it's like, you know, I was lucky enough to find an investor that was like, look, I believe in you. I'm going to pay for you to make this record and we'll make it together. So that I didn't have to be knocking on them doors, and I had the ability to do that. So I got the chance to sign to an independent label, which was Paragon. And they made the record with me.
Oh, that's fantastic. So
that, yeah, so that was where I was lucky enough to do that. But that was still you know, an absolute graft for nearly
2 years. Not easy.
Every 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't even realise how much work goes into making a record, especially when you're writing, producing with the producers, you know, and all this work is your own. You have to be completely committed to it. It can't be, I'm singing, I'm doing this. And then, you know, then you've got the live side of it. You have to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, that's the thing. The worst thing is when you see a live performance and the band or whatever just can't sing, but then because they get auto-tuned, don't they?
Yeah, and then you think, oh, I've been ripped off.
Yeah, well, you do.
Well, my band are all like live musicians and stuff, so.
Carolyn, if people want to follow you, then they want to know more about you, about your journey and kind of what you're up to and stuff, where should they go?
You can follow me on my Twitter, which is at Carolyn Poole. Although, saying that, I'm just about to get married, so my name will be changing.
That's exciting.
When's the wedding?
Oh, look at Lucy angling for an invite. You've only just met her, Lucy.
but unfortunately, I won't be taking my my new married name onto the stage because it's
too
actually
difficult.
Willie.
Oh, Carolyn Willie. Oh, no. I don't know if you'd want to double...
Maybe stay with Poole.
I don't think you're going to double barrel that. Poole Willie. I don't think...
Willie Poole?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, definitely
Which
keep...
Is-
Yeah,
yeah,
keep it as it is. That's it for me. Carolyn, listen, thanks so much for being on Luke and Lucy FM.
Thanks for having me. No worries.
Thank you.
Enjoy your wedding. Save us some cake.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. All right, guys. Speak to you later.
See you later.
You know, I nearly said to Carolyn then on the phone, let's just give up all our dreams and go and work in a supermarket or something.
Why?
I don't know, because she said how difficult it is, and radio's difficult, podcasts are difficult.
You've got to follow your dreams, you've got to work hard, or else you'll never get there.
Oh, I'm welling up. You know what, though? You don't have to work hard to have an actual bargain of an offer, though, don't you?
No, we've given you this. If you love dining out, why pay full price? Discover utter foodie heaven with High Life Diners Club.
Yeah, absolutely. You can feast on a whole host of well-known restaurants across the UK and never pay full price again. With High Life, you can enjoy 2-for-1 dining at thousands of top restaurants across the UK and Ireland. It's so simple to get this exclusive offer.
Yeah, we've got an exclusive offer just for Luke and Lucy FM listeners. You can claim your free 3-month High Life card right now. Just simply visit www.high-life.co.uk/myvoucher. That's www.high-life.co.uk/myvoucher and enter our unique code, which is LL16.
That's LL16, 3-month-3, thanks to High Life Diners Club. Thanks so much for listening to episode 21 of Luke and Lucy FM.
No, Caroline was just sweet.
She was, wasn't she? Really was. And I hope she got an iPhone so she can leave us an iTunes review. If you want to leave us an iTunes review, please do. Just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. We are done. We are back with episode 22 next week.
Yes, we are. One thing I forgot to say to someone before. So apparently, as well, one of my little facts, if termites will eat wood 2 times faster when listening to heavy metal music.
You're no longer in charge of facts. That's the worst thing I've ever... Oh, it's a termite to eat you.
You've just listened to Luke and Lucy FM. Why not listen to it all over again? Oh, and please, leave us a review on iTunes. Pretty please.